Well, it's good to be here again. I don't know for sure. I don't have quite enough of fingers in my Bible here where I want to start with some of my extra comments. I was blessed with the Sunday school lesson, and I have a few comments there. But I first, I guess, want to start with saying thank you to the congregation for the past year, as you have sent cards and letters and gifts and things as we serve there at the Lighthouse Thrift Store. I also was thinking about the last song we sang about lifting us up out of the miry clay. Not this song we just sang now, but song comes from Psalm 40. If you turn to Psalm 40, the first few verses there, it's quite interesting that that writer put that all together in a song. But that's my testimony, and I have received this mercy and grace from the Lord in my life, and I just want to share that with you here this morning. It says here, in Psalm 40, it says, I long patiently for the Lord, and he inclined unto me and heard my cry. And so when the King James uses the word inclined, it's basically saying that God turned his ear, or he's turned his attention towards me. And you can put your own name in there. And again, this morning, as we think of New Year's Day, the first service for New Year's, just think about that today again. As you go through the year, God turned his ear towards you. And that means that he listened to our cry. He listened to your cry for help. We are in need daily, but when we think about giving our hearts to Christ, which was talked about in the Sunday school lesson, I just had to go to that Psalm 40. It says, he inclined unto me and heard my cry. He brought me up also out of an horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and he set my feet upon a rock and established my going. He put a new song, that's new words. He put new words in my mouth, and even praise unto our God. Many shall see it and shall fear and shall trust in the Lord. And so I'll stop reading there, but probably most of you have heard part of my testimony and upbringing and things that you think it's might be old hat, but some of you haven't. And just again share with you the idea that when you see an old guy up front here and has served the Lord for just at this place for what soon 35 years, that's basically all you saw of this person. And I still meet people today that say, you mean you're a preacher? And that means, from what they knew, that was not a preacher when they knew him. And so I'd just like to say to you that if you haven't tried to get God's attention and give your heart to him, it is the way to go. And so he will incline to you. He will turn his ear and he will listen to your cry. And that's what he did for me. And I'm not going to get long on that. It's just amazing how God leads us through life and has given us many opportunities to sing a new song for him or speak new words for him and so on. If you would turn your attention now, our attention to Matthew chapter 6, I think of a New Year's sermon. I was challenged by the idea of what we would do if we would make a list of our priorities, maybe in reflection to last year, and how we would rewrite that year, or how we're going to try and outline this year coming up. There's two sets of verses that I think should be on the top of the list. And I believe they are. For most of us, we want to serve the Lord and we want to be faithful and grow in knowledge and grace of the Lord. That's Peter's last words to us. But here in Matthew chapter 6, the last verse 33, just one verse, it says here, "But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." And I'd like to have that kind of as our priority in life as we think of 2026. It's almost hard to think what for numbers to put in there. They go so fast. 2026. Can we put in there that we will not worry about all the situations in life, but that we would seek God first? Seek first the kingdom of God as a top priority. And when you think of all the things that people lay out in outlines, what they want to do or make resolutions or things like that, this is it right here. It doesn't matter what age group is listening here this morning. It is here for us to have that as a priority. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. And we could stay there. That's not really where I'm going to stay at. But the other verse that I'm thinking about is in Colossians chapter 3, kind of saying the same thing. First two verses of Colossians 3, "If ye then be risen with Christ," or you could put in there, "because I am risen with Christ." It here is, "if you then be risen," as almost like a question, "but because I am risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God." And another goal for 2026 is the idea of setting our affections on things above, not on things on the earth. The things of the earth will take care of themselves. Circumstances come and go, and whatever you're struggling with or joyous with this morning, that's how life is. But the idea of setting our affections on things above is something that we need to put an effort into. And so may those two things, seek first the kingdom of God and set our affections on things above, may that be our top, on the top of the page if you write out a goals or a priority for your life for 2026. That's really, I believe, where it's at. And my thoughts this morning are going then to an Old Testament character when I want to outline or give you an example of what that really looks like of a person that's seeking first the kingdom of God and setting his affection on things above. Many, many characters in the Old Testament we could learn from. But you can find one of the things that I want to look at is you will find some challenges in the book of Ezra this morning. And so you can turn there for the sermon. Ezra, chapter 7, my tissue box disappeared. Joyce, can you help me? If you ever look at the book of Nehemiah and Ezra, those two books and those two characters, they have a lot of things to go with us, to challenge us in life. And so take that as a challenge. If you want to outline 2026, you can follow some other ways and you will be successful. And I don't just say that as just off the top of my head. I mean, that's really what's in those two books. You could really get some outlines for life. This Ezra in chapter 7, Ezra is introduced here by 16 grandpas, and you can look at those names, and I'm not going to try and say them. But verse 6, it says, "This Ezra," that they just described, "this Ezra went up from the Babylon, and he was a ready scribe." Thank you. I don't need it. It's only been a short.
Make it short.
Yeah. Well, it's happened otherwise, I guess, too. This Ezra is a ready scribe in the law of Moses in verse 6, which the Lord God of Israel had given. So that's one ingredient, a ready scribe. And we'll refer to that as we go on. A ready scribe, what does that mean? The king granted him all his requests according to the hand of the Lord his God upon him. And there went up some of the children of Israel and of the priests and the Levites, singers, the porters, the nymphs, unto Jerusalem in the seventh year of Artaxerxes the king. And he came to Jerusalem in the fifth month, which was in the seventh year of the king. And upon the first day of the month began he to go up from Babylon. On the first day of the fifth month came he to Jerusalem, according to the good hand of God upon him. And then verse 10 is the verse that I referred to many times already as an outline for our lives, and this is what I want to do for us here in 2026. For Ezra had prepared his heart to seek the law of the Lord and to do it and to teach in Israel statutes and judgment. And there's verse 11 then starts what the letter was that the king gave to Ezra, but there's a few things here in 10 and 11 and 12 that I'd just like to read in addition to the verse 10 that we want to focus on. It says, now this is the copy of the letter that the king Artaxerxes gave unto Ezra the scribe, the priest. So I'm trying to look at a little more explanation of who this Ezra guy was, what we could learn from him, what was said about him. If you talk about faith into action, talk about faith into action in our Sunday school lesson, well, here is, these books have that in it. I mean, his faith led him to action. And so, but here are some explanations about this. Ezra, in verse 11, Ezra the priest, okay, now he's a priest, and we could describe that. He's a scribe. Even a scribe of the words of the commandments of the Lord and of his statutes to Israel, Artaxerxes, king of kings, unto Ezra the priest, a scribe of the law of God of heaven, perfect peace, and at such a time. Just a little explanation there, a little extended explanation of Ezra. And if you read these two books, you will find that some of the outstanding parts of Ezra's life was simply what I tried to point out in the New Testament about seeking first the kingdom of God. The first thing in his life was it easy? I don't know for sure if it was easy, but it was a priority. And he set his mind to accomplish the things that God had done for him, wanted him to do. And so when I think of priorities for 2026 or an outline for the new year, let us look what this is saying. In verse 10, Ezra had prepared his heart, and we'll just stop there as the first point. He prepared his heart. So if you want to look at an outline, you could put on there just for yourself, prepare. We want to prepare our heart for 2026. We don't know what it brings. Last year, I stood up here last year in January and preached a sermon, and then in February I was in the hospital. I had sepsis, and they didn't know there a day and a half which way it's going to go. I could have been gone. And you just don't know. But one thing we can do is we can prepare, and that's what Ezra did. When you read the stories of Ezra and Nehemiah, you just think, well, they're a cool guy. I mean, they're faithful, and they do what God wants them to do, and it's just everything. Well, there was effort put into it that he prepared his heart. And so that's the first point. He had prepared his heart. He opened his heart to receive the word or to receive the instruction that God had in his word for himself. He prepared his heart to listen. We can kind of know what that's like. He was open to believe the word of God when it was written, or when it was read, or he read it. He was open to prepare, to move ahead with what was there. And so we can make many applications with that. And you can prepare on Sunday morning to come here to church. During church, you can daydream. You can look out the window. I think of back in my old life in seventh grade, in school, we were right along Main Road, and these trucks would come pulling up the grade beside us. An old building that had lots of windows and lots of noise came through. And a couple of us boys in the circle there, we would whisper to each other as the truck went by what engine it had in. And so we knew the sounds of each of the Detroit Cummins or Cat at that time. And so that was not giving attention while the teacher was talking. And I'm not saying about me speaking here to you this morning, but there's something about it. You can let your mind drift. And it's something when it says here, I believe he prepared his heart. We can prepare to come, but even then while we're here, it's just something that is a reminder to us as we think of doing what God wants us to do in 2026. I do believe that when we prepare our heart to worship, prepare our heart for fellowship, God has an amazing amount of things for us. We have many opportunities to listen to God's word and on media and preaching and amazing amount of time of fellowship together. And let's prepare to receive what God has for us in this year. It's something that we have to determine we're going to do. So in the outline for this year, I hope we can put on that we would prepare our hearts for what God has for us. The next part of that verse says, he prepared his heart to seek the law of the Lord. And so that would be the second point, seeking or choosing to study, if that you want to put that in there instead. But here it says, he prepared his heart to seek the law of the Lord and seek the meaning and glean out what the things that God wants him to learn and things. I believe he was given to that because if you would study in detail what that means in the sixth verse when it says about a ready scribe, that means somebody that's well acquainted with the word. It's really what that ready scribe is. And so when I look at this person that preparing his heart to seek the law, first of all, it's a choice we have to make. So we can make this outline and we can make these resolutions and things, but somewhere along the line, we just have to each day or maybe by the minute sometimes, we have to make a choice and choose that we're going to follow our outline. I do believe that from the little bit of information we have about the Babylonian culture in that day, there was lots of opportunities to study different things. And I think that's a little how it is today here for us. Man, you can get so distracted. And books and abilities with our finances, we can buy stuff and click on Amazon and bang, it's there the next day. It's all that stuff we have at our fingertips. It's basically, Ezra was not a lot different is what I understand. It wasn't Amazon or UPS delivery the next day. But it was a lot of choices what to study. And they were interested, or the culture was very interested in astrology and different things away from God. So this was not just a very religious culture that he lived in and he just did what everybody else was doing. But when it says that he prepared his heart to seek the law of the Lord, I believe he was determined to find good stuff to read or to take his attention. Hey, now that's a challenge. If you want to put something on your outline for this year, allow yourself not to be distracted with all the stuff that's out there that you can read and study. It's a challenge. I think I have, what, 6 books that people gave me? I don't know how many it is. And it just seems like you have to discipline yourself, because there's other things that are easier. It's easier to be entertained than it is to sit down and read a book or to read things that are worthwhile. And one of the things that's worthwhile, when it says here that he prepared to study the law of the Lord, apparently that means the Bible, right? He was willing to do that. And then when you go to Romans 15, and it talks about this Old Testament stuff is here for our learning. That's our examples. And so we should look into the scripture, see what it has to say. I like to think that this seeking was a person that's interested in actually finding the real deep things of the scripture, of the law. And so I'm not saying that you all have to, by the end of this year, that you're all some kind of theologians or something. But it's something about getting down there and not just being satisfied with skimming the surface and just doing speed reading, going through the Bible. There is something of a challenge here, I believe, that I get out of this, of seeking the law of the Lord, not just flip through the pages. It takes energy. Oh, you know what happens when you seek in detail what something means in the Bible, and you come to a conclusion in your own heart, and you're convinced that this is what these verses mean, and you now have studied it yourself. Now you have it in your heart, and now you're prepared to share, and that's what the last point is. If we only receive things, and that it's, we need to be open to receive things from people, but study the word enough to get a hold of a concept. What is this? What are people talking about? And make it your own. It will really convince you in time of need that something that's in your heart is really worth talking about. When I think of seeking the Lord, or the effort of seeking the law, or the effort that he put into this idea, I was thinking of Dana Atkinson when he was here with his archaeology finds that he did and all the things that he talked about. You know, when they go into a site and they have a side of a cliff or somewhere in a mountainside, they don't go in there with big track hoes and jackhammers and dig in the side of the mountain. And it would all crumble and fall, and it would not be held in place what they want. And so what I'd like for us to think about is we go in very carefully and look at the Word of God. We handle the Word very carefully. Somebody said something about we don't handle the Word of God like a butcher, but rather like a surgeon. And so when you're thinking about that, thinking about studying the Scripture and getting a detail out of it, then you're looking at the specifics, and you're looking at not just a jackhammer blowing everything up, because it all disappear in Dana's world there. So dig into it like he did, and you will find lots of things in the scripture. Well, what goes on here in this verse is the next point is that he sought the law of the Lord and to do it. So now we have another challenge here. So he was a person that was after the knowledge, or gaining the knowledge that's in the scripture, but he was also seeking to put it into applying it, or to put it in an application, making an application out of it. So as we think of going into the Word of God, we want to have it, the knowledge of the scripture, transform us. Be not conformed to the world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And so when I think of a person that's going to actually practically being able to apply the scripture, he has he has been transformed by the Word of God. And then when he goes out into the real life, he has something that is practical. Well, first of all, it's in his heart, because he worked through it himself. He sought deeply to find out what was in there. But he's going to be looking to apply it then and do it. And so that's what this word tells me here, or challenges me, to be thoroughly acquainted with the Word and make applications in my own life what this really means. Resolve in our hearts to line ourselves up with the Scripture. We don't come at with a problem in our heart and then we go to a page through the Scripture to find the answer. No, we look at the Scripture and we know it has the answer. We just need to adjust our life to what it says. And that's an application I think is pretty important here as we think of a new year. Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee, so David says for us. The last point then in this verse talks about not only being able to do it or apply it, but to teach in Israel statutes and judgment. We know that that was part of the scribes' job, was to explain the Scripture to people. And so when I think we can take that to our 2026 and really realize that the need in the world today is not some great preacher. Well, it is, that's a need too. But the need is for the Christian people to live a life that's obedient to the Scripture. And when we have a life that's obedient to the Scripture and we follow these points here in this outline, then we will be able to teach it. It'll flow from us like rivers of living water. And so I think that's a challenge for all of us. Preach the word, be ready in season and out of season. Ezra, I believe, was ready to share. And so may we also have that type of a goal as we think of this year. The challenge is, first of all, to prepare our hearts, number one. Second was for him was to choose to study the Scripture, not be careful where our attention goes, but study the Scripture, apply it, and then be able to teach it. The question is, you know, are we interested in that? And so that's my challenge. I have the outline here. It's right in front of me here. And you have it in the Scripture, but I have all my other notes that I thought with it. And yet, is that what you really want to do? Is that what I really want to do in life? And is that what I want to do in 2025? And so it takes a choice of ours to be able to fulfill an outline that we make for the year. May the Lord bless you and continue to pray for the year as you come into different situations. I sure hope I don't have to spend 5 days in the hospital again and 30 more days at home doing nothing. But we never know. Let's give our lives to Christ. Follow this outline if that's interesting to you. And you will be successful no matter, I will be successful no matter if I have to spend 30 days at home doing nothing. But the Lord bless you and keep you. Let's pause for prayer. Heavenly Father, we again just want to thank you for the example of Ezra and his interest in you. Help us to be able to apply it and make it a practical thing in our hearts, that we would be serious about studying the Word, serious about knowing you better, and serious about applying it, being able to teach others. Just bless the group here. Help us to be faithful as we go from here. In Jesus' name, amen.